Okay, so this is our first year on the topic of tshuva, right? So,
what number of shiur is this?
Shiur number 20, I believe.
20.
I'm going to ask some questions before I say anything. So, continuing the trend. So one of the last inyanim in the parak, the two and a half lot of inyanim tshuva. Basically, the mamarim, relating to tshuva that you find in all the sifrei musar or etc. really come from the end of Yuma. So we're gonna be discussing as our last sugya in the last couple of days we have, the mitzvah of tshuva and really the nature of the mitzvah. Really, first we have to ask whether it's a mitzvah, and if it's a mitzvah, what is its nature / what is the makor for the mitzvah, and thereby you'll be able to tell the nature. So we're going to be basically presenting four different approaches, three tonight, and then one in the next couple days moving forward. So the first approach in the Mefarshim is that tshuva is not a mitzvah, right? And we're going to see that a number of these Mefarshim are medayik this in a very fascinating lashon of the Rambam. Which Rambam are they coming from? Anybody? Any lashon that the Rambam has that implies that tshuva is not a mitzvah? Anybody?
Just be doing it.
Yeah? Exactly. So the Rambam, famously in Hilchos Tshuva, Aleph, has the famous formulation where he says, "Kishe ya'aseh tshuva v'yashav michato'o," right? When you do tshuva, then chayiv l'svados. Implication being that there's no chayiv, there's no formal chayiv to perform tshuva. It's like when you on your own decide to perform tshuva, then there's a chayiv of vidur. Not that there is a chayiv of tshuva. So a number of mefarshim and dayik in this Rambam, right? Hilchos tshuva aleph. Again, that there's no formal mitzvah of tshuva. There's no formal mitzvah of tshuva. But the way they justify the lack of a mitzvah is in two opposite ways. So one way, we'll call it approach 1A, is to say that tshuva is not a mitzvah because tshuva is simply a rishus. So this is the manner. This is the approach adopted by the Minchas Chinuch. Right. So the Minchas Chinuch in mitzvah shin samach dalad ospes, and shin samach dalad ospes, Minchas Chinuch again is medayik in the Rambam. This is the same diuk as kishiyase tshuva. That implies, according to the Minchas Chinuch, that right the tshuva is not a mitzvah. And the way the Minchas Chinuch justifies the Rambam is by saying that it's simply rishus. And what he compares it to is the parallel, inyan of gerushin.
A rishus. For what?
Meaning, it's up to you whether to perform tshuva.
Defined as, what's the content of tshuva, according to the Minchas Chinuch, then?
Well,
what does it involve? What is up to you, in other words?
Meaning, it's up to you whether you want to perform tshuva and to restore your standing, in front of God.
Well, I'm saying, what would that entail on the Minchas? What is optional on the Minchas Chinuch's telling?
You can decide, not to perform tshuva. You did an avera.
Right.
So now it's up to you whether you want to, regain proper standing in the
I understand that, but how would one do that on the Minchas Chinuch?
Oh, how would you perform tshuva?
Yeah. That
wouldn't change. We'll get to the detail. The details of tshuva being, busha, charata, all things we'll discuss moving forward.
Okay.
So that won't necessarily change, but he's saying everything that's included within tshuva is completely up to you. You have the right to or not to perform tshuva. According to the Minchas Chinuch. And the mashal that he invokes is the inyan of gerushin. Right? You can decide to or not to divorce your wife, but if you opt to divorce your wife, the Torah will tell you the manner in which you must divorce your wife. All the halachos pertaining to gerushin, such as the get being lishma, has to be written down, biksav, all the dinim. So he basically says, there you have an inyan of gerushin, where it's a rishus, right? Of course, it's up to you whether you want to divorce your wife. But once you opt to divorce your wife, then there's certain chiyuvim, there's certainly no parameters that must be taken in order for you to fulfill that. So similarly, says Minchas Chinuch, The inyan, whether or not you're going to perform tshuva, is completely up to a person. But if you opt to do tshuva, the Torah is telling you, chayiv l'svados, the way in which you should perform tshuva is through performing a vidui, to, you know, to verbalize the process. We'll get to the details perhaps moving forward. To verbalize the process, because that's the way in order, that's the only way it's going to work. So again, it's up to you whether you want to opt to do tshuva, but if, once you opt to do tshuva, if you want it to be effective, like gerushin, once you want to divorce your wife, if you want the gerushin to be effective, if you want the divorce to be effective, there's certain halachos that have to be, you know, met. Same thing here, if you want the tshuva to be effective, you have to perform vidoy, you have to verbalize the process. So that's the way the Minchas Chinuch explains the Rambam. Again, the inyan of tshuva is not a mitzvah, it's completely a rishus, and that's what the Rambam means, kishiyase tshuva. So the Rav, in Ala Tshuva, page 40, he rejects the Minchas Chinuch, but he rejects it in a strange manner, sort of like a straw man argument. Basically, the Rav says, sorry,
where is it?
The Rav?
Yeah.
Is in Ala Tshuva, page 40. So basically, the Rav says, he quotes the Minchas Chinuch, and basically says, oh, the Minchas Chinuch, in essence, is saying that Tshuva is Rishus, and Vidui is a Chiyuv. Right? That you can summarize the Minchas Chinuch as that, right? Tshuva is Rishus, and Vidui is a Chiyuv. So he says, that doesn't make any sense to have, you know, Tshuva be Rishus, and Vidui be a Chiyuv, because he says, what value is there to Vidui outside the context of Tshuva? So he says, how can you have an inyan, how can you have vidoy be a chiyuv, right? If tshuva itself is a rishus, that implies, says the Rav, that you can have the context, you can have the concept of vidoy outside the context of tshuva, and that doesn't make any sense. Because what's the value of vidoy if you're not doing tshuva? Right? The line of the Rav is, v'chi yitachin vidoy below tshuva. Does it make sense to have vidoy without tshuva? Ma erko shel vidoy kizet. What's the value of vidoy outside the context of tshuva? Ma mashmu'utal, right? What's its essence? What's its nature? But the reason why it's a little straw man is because the Minchas Chinuch didn't, when the Minchas Chinuch said that tshuva is rishus and vidoy is chiyuv, he didn't mean to say that there exists a vidoy outside the context of tshuva. He just meant that it's up to you whether you opt in to the inyan of tshuva, and once you opt into tshuva, so then the process, the manner in which you perform your tshuva, is al yedei vidui. So that's what he meant by chiyuv. So again, the Rav's rejection of the Minchas Chinuch is a little strange, because the Minchas Chinuch didn't mean to say there's a value of vidui outside of tshuva. He's just saying it's a rishus whether you opt into tshuva, but once you opt into tshuva, so then if you want the tshuva to be effective, you have to do vidui. But again, Minchas Chinuch never dreamed of having a vidoy outside the context of tshuva. So again, that's just to defend the Minchas Chinuch from the Rav's question. Okay, very good. So again, so the first version of explaining how, you know, how tshuva is not a mitzvah is basically the Minchas Chinuch version 1a, by basically saying that tshuva is completely irishus, totally irishus. It's up to you whether you want to opt into it or not. So the other way to justify, you know, tshuva not being a mitzvah, in a way, is the opposite. Not to say that it's rishus and therefore it's not a mitzvah, but rather to saying that it's such an obvious chiyuv, the Torah didn't need to make it into a mitzvah. Who says this idea? Who says that the reason why the Rambam doesn't count?
The Rav's uncle.
Exactly, the Avodas HaMelech. So the Avodas HaMelech also, you know, adopts this first approach that this reading in the Rambam that the inyan of tshuva is not a mitzvah based on the diuk in the Rambam kishayasa tshuva, but instead of saying, oh, it's not a mitzvah because it's completely rishus, it's the opposite. It's not a mitzvah because it's such an obvious chiyuv the Torah doesn't need to be mechayev.
That seems like too clever by half, no?
I'm not sure why I got the by half part, but
like it's so obvious. Like, yeah, so it's yeah. Murdering people.
Oh, very good. Okay, good. We're going to say that in just a couple moments.
Did you anticipate that I was going to ask that?
Nope. But point for call.
Isn't that the whole machlokes about whether
Yerush Hashem is
a
person?
Some
it's all
like
that. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't
care. Oh yeah, believing in Hashem.
Baha, yeah. What? Yeah, 100%. But Well, we'll get to that. So just to spell out the Avodas HaMelech, again, this is Avodas HaMelech, Hilchos Tshuva Aleph Aleph, again, now this is, Avodas HaMelech is the Rav's uncle, happens to be, and the Rav happens to quote him in, I think so. Alright, so the Avodas HaMelech, this is again, makes the same diak in the Rambam, that the Rambam has this formulation, Kishayasa Tshuva, implying that it's not a mitzvah. So the way that Avodas HaMelech explains it is that the reason why it's not a mitzvah is because it's such an obvious chiyuv. I mean, tshuva is such an obvious chiyuv, there's no reason to make it a mitzvah. And he spells it out, that he says, number one, right, the first factor of tshuva, of azivas achit, right? No longer, you know, violating the aveira. So he says, that's pashut. Of course you can't violate the aveira at all. You know, the aveira is still in the books, right? Just because you were over a nevela once. So that same Isser Nevela is still telling you not to do it again. So that the factor of azivas achit is obvious, says the Avodas HaMelech. But the other factor, which is the bigger chiddush, isn't that part so far so good. Yeah. Azivas achit, the fact you can't do the sin again, that's obvious. But he says, what do you mean? There's also a factor of charata. The Rambam, we'll get to this in the future. The Rambam, when discussing the mitzvah of tshuva, or the inyan of tshuva, we'll call it, because we're saying mitzvahs, we're taking a stand. But when discussing the inyan of tshuva, the Rambam includes the factor of charata. You have to have a regret, right? You have to have a regret over the fact that you violated, the bear in the past. So, where does that come from? So here, the Avodas HaMelech has a huge chiddush, that also is pashut. He says, if you're a God-fearing person, and you sinned in the past, of course you should regret the fact that you sinned in the past, says the Avodas HaMelech. And therefore, even that factor, for sure, zivas achet, fine. He says, not only azivas achet, but even the factor of charata, both those factors are such obvious chiyuvim that there's no need to formulate the inyan of tshuva as a mitzvah. And he says the only factors which are chidushim and therefore get their own, attain the status stature of a mitzvah is the factor of vidui. Again, the fact that you have to verbalize the process, that's not pashut. That's what Rambam says, chayiv lesvados. But another factor which the Avodas HaMelech admits is not pashut, and therefore has to admit is a chiyuv, is the factor of, can I remember? Exactly, Kabbalah la'asid. The fact that you have to concretize and say, I'm not going to do this in the future, he says, in a chanami, that's a chiddush. And therefore, he doesn't say what? He says, vidoy v'peh and the Kabbalah la'asid are both chidushim, and therefore, my previous analysis of it being, pashut doesn't apply to them. He doesn't explain, therefore, what. It would seem to be, for the Avodas HaMelech, for his ma'alat, that you have to include the fact of Kabbalah la'asid within the mitzvah of vidoy. He doesn't spell that out. Does not sound like that, right? Correct. But I think he also includes Kabbalah Asad in his discussion of Tshuva. I think in Bay's base. We'll get to that. But Avodas HaMelech, again, his analysis assumes that, because he admits that both Vidoy and Kabbalah Asad are Chidushim, and therefore those need to have the stature of a mitzvah, but once he doesn't count Tshuva as a mitzvah, and he's only counting Vidoy as a mitzvah, I think he's forced into saying that the factor of Kabbalah Asid must be nichlo, must be included within the mitzvah of Vidoy. To him, like the value of Kabbalah Asid is part of the Vidoy process when you're explicating that which you did, and then you're saying you're not going to do it again, because it's part of that mitzvah of Vidoy. But again, the Avodas HaMelech, the way he approaches the lack of mitzvah for tshuva is the opposite of Minchas Chinuch. Instead of downplaying tshuva by saying it's a reshus, he sort of upgrades it by saying it's so obvious, such an obvious chiyuv, you don't even need it to be a mitzvah. So just before I take questions, just to analyze the basics of the Avodas HaMelech. So again, so one point we just pointed out is that according to Avodas HaMelech, it would seem that the fact of Kabbalah la'asid, which he admits is a chiddush, seems to have to be included within the mitzvah of Vidui, point number one. And the other point is that I would say the biggest chiddush of the Avodas HaMelech, I would say, is the factor of charata being self-evident. Right? Is the fact that, being that you're a, because you're, assuming that the person is, still a God-fearing person, so then it's obvious that he's going to have regret regarding the sin that he had before. But again, this analysis of the Avodas HaMelech, I think, has two questionable assumptions. Questionable assumption number one is that it's obvious that a person will feel charata for having sins. That doesn't seem so obvious to me. There are many people who sin, who don't regret it. And if you're going to tell me that Avodas HaMelech himself says, no, we're talking about a God-fearing person, that when you're deciding whether it's, you know, formulate mitzvahs or not, that you take that factor into account. You know, the whole point is that, you know, the Torah, you know, formulates what is the gather of a God-fearing person by telling a God-fearing person what to do. It's a little, to me, it's a little convoluted, a little circular to say, because we're dealing with a God-fearing person who's going to, for sure, have charata over a past avira, and therefore you don't need to legislate that as a mitzvah. I think that's one questionable assumption. And the second question,
what you're doing tshuva, the God-fearing person, maybe,
but no, we didn't legislate.
But a person,
right?
In other words, on this reasoning, it would be only those dinim that are like so not obvious that even a God-fearing person would not think to do them, which basically like half of a Aseret HaDibrot.
Yeah, right? That's the second point. The second point, number one is whether it,
more than half actually,
yeah, whether charata is obvious. And number one, number two is the assumption that Nola Cole is pointing out is that you don't have mitzvahs with yourself.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's too cluttered by half.
It tries
to prove way too much.
Yeah, right. This idea that mitzvahs are not self-evident again. Like the Rasag, you know, famously, you know, categorizes many mitzvos within the mitzvos sichlios, which seem to be this category of rational, self-evident mitzvos, such as stealing, murdering, etc. There are tons of mitzvos, to point that out, tons even in the Aseret HaDibrot, which seem to be self-evident, and yet the Torah counts them as mitzvos. Again, you could be machalik between mitzvos lo sa'aseh and mitzvos aseh, which I was thinking of. It could be that Avodas HaMelech is going to say, all those rayos are all lo sa'aseh. And perhaps the Torah, you know, still tells you obvious, self-evident lo sa'aseh, but won't necessarily tell you obvious mitzvos aseh. Maybe that's what he's saying. But again, that seems to be an arbitrary distinction. You know, like, the monofshah.
It also doesn't even, I'm not sure it even holds up.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to think it through.
Monotheism and respecting your parents, which are both aseh, seem like...
Okay, yeah, definitely arguable. And even without going to specifics, just that breakdown seems to be, you know, arbitrary. Yeah. What?
So if you don't say them, you don't get
knowledge. Oh. Oh, you're saying that would justify this distinction. You know, perhaps the reason why you need to state... I guess it's a little circular, because, you know, why do you need an azhara? Just teach the onesh.
Well, that's a general question. Why do you already need an azhara?
But that's the whole point.
No,
but that's sort of a question on the system. I mean,
you would have to have been already committed, in other words, to a view of the mitzvot that saw like some really fundamental distinction between mitzvot with a punishment and mitzvot without punishment, to like import that to defend this distinction. It's probably not true that we have no evidence textually to think that the Avodas HaMelech had that in mind. It might work like as a post facto rationalization for it, but
either way. Again, I still think that, you know, if you took this argument to its ultimate conclusion, I think you could justify and say, okay, you wouldn't need azharas. You know, and therefore just, just to deflect the point of onesh, just have an onesh.
So without the Avodas HaMelech, what do you do about
azharas? Oh, without the Avodas HaMelech, you say, yeah, everything needs to be stated, whether it's obvious or not. Then that's fine. If you don't have it, it's only once the Avodas HaMelech brings up the... Only once the Avodas HaMelech says, oh, when something is obvious, you don't need to state it, then you have to question, okay, so why do you have to teach murder and stealing, etc., etc.? Again, it's a broader point. I don't want to get too bogged down. But...
Is there an afkamina as to whether or not it's formulated as mitzvah? Let's say we assume, like the Avodas HaMelech, that it's self-evident. So if the Rambam anyways formulated as a mitzvah, what would be like problematic, or would there be any difference if you formulated it that way?
So not clear. I think this is more like a parshanut in the Rambam question. You're right.
The next thing that comes to that Rambam can't say it's mitzvah, because that would be false. But
correct.
Avodas HaMelech He could have said it anyways. There's no reason for him not to.
Well, according to his thesis, like, he's not going to... Well, he can't say it because it's obvious.
There's no...
You're right that according to the Baruch Melech, there's no nafkamina, because whether it's an obvious chiyuv or it's a mitzvah, doesn't really...
I'm not sure I understand why he thinks it's obvious. I mean, it's sort of weird to ask that question, but, like, is it that the, you know, existence within any legal system, you know, implies by its very nature adherence to, and therefore, reconstitution in accordance with the laws of that system, and the tshuva is just like, you know, as self-evident as it is, if you've already accepted the halakhic system, that you should follow the dinim of the halakhic system, so too is it self-evident that you should, when you have broken one of these laws, you know, reconstitute yourself as the sort of person who follows them, or is there...
Okay, again, it's very important to focus on how he's being magdir tshuva in this context. He's limiting tshuva.
Yeah.
When he's saying, when the Rambam says kishiyasa tshuva, saying
yeah.
that tshuva is obvious, he's limiting the term tshuva
yeah.
to two factors. Aziva sachet, which just means not violating the Aveira again, which that's obvious.
Yeah, that's not part of tshuva, that's
yeah.
just not doing the Aveira.
So again, that's...
Or promising that you're not gonna...
No, that's Kabbalah Lasset. That is a Chiddush according to him. To him, tshuva is aziva sachet, you know, not doing it again, and having regret over it. So he limits the gedder of tshuva to those two things.
So he thinks that
which is a big chiddush.
Right. So he thinks that so only one of those is sort of non-trivial in that it would not apply even if you right.
Yeah. Charat is the mechudash one.
Right.
It's not so obvious.
Feeling regret.
He's saying if you're a
God-fearing
person,
that's obvious.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. That was the first questionable assumption.
And you think that that's circular. Okay.
No. Circular in the sense that he justifies it by saying, oh, because you're already God-fearing. He's saying, once we're dealing with a God-fearing person,
right.
so then of course you're going to regret it.
Right.
I don't think that's so
right.
obvious.
Why do we have anything? Right.
Yeah, meaning,
yeah,
like,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Can you explain the, it being obvious, not being, therefore not being mixed, kind of, meaning the argument that something that's a prerequisite to keeping the Torah, you can't include as a mitzvah.
That's what I was saying.
Meaning, right, like killing you can include as a mitzvah because that's a specific detail, but the concept that you can't keep violating the law because you started violating the laws.
And that's fine, but I'm saying even though the charata, okay, meaning yeah, 100%. There is evidence, as you were noting, to this type of concept. I won't point out that it's questionable because not everybody agrees to that. Like it's my focus from Rambam and the Baha'i.
What do you think regret means? Like
regret.
Does the Rambam
like
ever
remorse.
Flesh it out?
Well, yeah, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to this.
I mean, because
it,
like that, it,
like in Bayes he's gonna flesh out exactly. Again, we're gonna see that. In order to justify this approach, the Avodas HaMelech basically narrows significantly the gedder of tshuva. We're going to see when the Rambam formulates tshuva in its full form and Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, it seems to be more expansive than that which the Avodas HaMelech implies. Because in order to say tshuva is all obvious, he has to narrow the gap of what tshuva is, right? The more you expand it, and the more chidushim are entailed in the process of tshuva, the harder it is
which
to say
is what
it.
You're saying is obvious, right?
Yeah.
Sort of building on a dumb point, yeah. I think that Charoth is very explicitly part of that. As in, I think if he said in the product, it seems to have been part of anyone who defines as being accepting a system, and when you violate the things in that system, recognizing that that's wrong. So in buying into the system, you're also a halakha, I think you're also buying the fact that if you don't follow that, then that's morally wrong. So almost inherent within the buying of the halakhic system is harata. And then therefore, harata by tshuva is just specific to that mitzvah expressing an original harata.
I hear, but again, the fact that that's like a necessary requirement to have like a formal sense of regret, at the very least, is questionable. Whether that's obvious. Okay, but to have a formal, like, okay, I formally regret that which I did as like a necessary stage.
Once you're not regretting it, this is
okay.
Isn't he also saying it's more automated?
No. To say that you're going to keep on violating the system, obviously, this isn't full of to say that you don't regret, you know, the system's going to fall apart if you don't have a formal regret.
Is it not having harata in implicit, is it buying into harata in an implicit way of saying that I no longer value the truth of the system?
I'm saying, do you admit that there's a mentality out there and they're like, you know, I had a good time when I was younger, I don't regret it, but like, now I've turned the page in my life, and now like, I'm more mature.
I
think it is a little relevant. There is a concept of saying, I don't regret, you know, my teenage years. I had fun, I had a good time. I don't regret it.
Regret and acknowledgement of moral guilt, which I think
is it an emotion or an intellectual awareness?
Right.
That's my thing. Do I think that's morally correct? Absolutely not.
No, but
from a moral
that's the point. No, but harata requires also an emotional state of regret.
Oh, certainly, but from a moral...
But all I'm saying, it's not so obvious because there are people who can buy into a system and say, like, you know, I'm happy I got away with it earlier.
But if you ask those people if they felt that what they were doing was moral at that time, and whether they regretted the action from a moral point of view, and then from a halakhic point of view,
I'm saying, is it obvious that they would have that emotion of regret? That's all I'm saying.
Maybe we should ask them.
Okay.
I don't know.
We're not going to say where we're going to ask those people.
What? No, I'm just saying, like, I think, like, doesn't doing that take it out of the conceptual realm? Like, that's part of why I said, like, we should ask them. Like, to a certain degree, they're whether or not people express a regret or not, or that they are embodying that system forced to express that regret are different.
Okay, interesting.
Isn't he also saying it's not like...
Isn't what?
That was another thing. You don't have to have... He's not saying you have to have formal regret. He's saying anything the person is going to...
Well, he's sort of saying that it's obviously you're going to have that, and therefore you're going to need to legislate that. But I think he's saying it's obviously you're going to have that emotional state of regret. How could you not?
Are you calling it an emotional
state? What?
Why are you like calling it?
I think you forced me to say it. Because it's not just an intellectual awareness that I did something wrong. It's that I emotionally now regret that. I think those are two different things. Because he was saying it's obvious once you buy into a system, of course you know you did it wrong. He's I'm just saying it's questionable because when you buy into a system that forces you to say I was wrong. It's not so obvious that you also say, and now I have an emotional sense of regret.
Why are you choosing the parish of the Avodah Melech, which is making him say something not obvious, as opposed to the one?
No, because I think that's what harata is.
Oh, okay.
What's your problem?
I think the Rambam in Beis Biz, he really focuses on, you know, he also puts in busha. He groups busha and harata together. We'll get to all this moving forward. Those are very emotional.
No, but I'm not saying they're not emotional, just one is specific to that specific fate and one is as an application of a broader value of having to buy the system, you work by the system.
Okay.
The Avodah Melech says he's going to regret it as a matter of course once he realizes like the harm he caused to himself and that he's going to get punished for it. Meaning he's taking it granted that people are going to think, and if they think, then of course they're going to regret it, because who's not going to regret it for themselves? Meaning, like, even emotionally, like if you hurt yourself, like you're like, oh yeah, I had a good time, like you can stab yourself.
You can think as a ki hishchis as nafsho, but anish.
That's not intuitive.
What?
No, it's not intuitive either.
So he says that if you're a thinking person, then you're not a kofa, then you're...
You're gonna real. Yeah. Okay, I get.
That is an emotional thing.
What?
That seems to be not free. That's an emotional thing.
But it's an emotional thing that stems from in the system.
Okay, I'm happy to have this conversation. I just want to get a little further because there's a lot more to discuss. Baruch Hashem. But I'm happy this is engendering a nice heated discussion. It's good. We're not going into it's important to be my eye on these things. Okay, so another fact that the Bodas Melech spells out, which was in the paragraph before. I apologize. It didn't. Photocopies of Dira Maskel Vihine, because the Avodas HaMelech, this explains, basically, implicitly, addresses the question. We're going to see in the second approach that there are a number of Rishonim who basically say that, it's clear that Tshuva is a mitzvah because there are many psukim which reference, Veshavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, a lot of, psukim which reference the Inyan of Tshuva. And some we're going to see, look, it's clear from the Pesukim that Tshuva is a mitzvah. But the Bodas HaMelech says that the Rambam is l'shitasa in how he interprets the Pesukim, right? The same Rambam who doesn't think that Tshuva is a mitzvah, l'shitasa, says the Bodas HaMelech, points out the Bodas HaMelech, because the Rambam in Perek Zayin, I don't know if you guys see this, but in Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey, the Rambam basically formulates all those psukim, these psukim in Perek Lamed in Dvarim, as not being a tzivoy, but rather a haftacha. Rather, that God is telling us as Klal Yisrael, as a haftacha, that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva in the future. So the Rambam l'shitaso, in not interpreting those psukim as tzivuyim, right, and thereby doesn't interpret the union of tshuva as a mitzvah, l'shitaso doesn't interpret those psukim as tzivuyim, but rather as a haftacha. Again, the Rambam's lashon is in Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey. It says, "Ukvar hifticha Torah," or the Torah promises us, "Shesof Yisrael lasos tshuva b'sof galusa," that at the end of the galus, Klal Yisrael will perform tshuva, u'miyad hinigalin, and after that performance of tshuva, we will merit geula. Shenemar, then he brings his psukim vayaki yavo elacha called dvarim. So again, the nice point that the Rambam l'shitaso doesn't think that the tshuva is a mitzvah. L'shitaso in Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey, formulates all those psukim which could have been interpreted as establishing tshuva as a mitzvah, as not being a tzivui, but rather as a haftacha for Klal Yisrael. But the Rav in Al Tshuva, again, page 39, rejects this pshat of his uncle, the Avodas HaMelech, and says, wait a second, Avodas HaMelech, you started in the middle of the halacha. The beginning of the halacha, the Rambam says as follows, Kol HaNeviim Kulan Tzavu Ala Tshuva. All the Neviim commanded Klal Yisrael regarding Tshuva to tell them Be'en Yisrael Negalin Ela B'Tshuva. So says the Rav, how can you focus on the haftacha part of the latter part of the Rambam, which focuses on the haftacha, if the ratio of the Rambam clearly says tzivui? So right, that proves that the Rambam really holds that it is a tzivui, that it really is an inyan, that it really is a mitzvah, and this will be the Rav l'shitaso to later. That's the Rav's rejection of the Avodas HaMelech. Again, the Avodas HaMelech brings a raya to his pshat, again, that tshuva is not a mitzvah for the Rambam. The fact that the Rambam focuses on the haftacha, but the Rav says, what are you talking about? The Rambam clearly formulates the Nevi'im being tzavu ala tshuva, so the Rav says it clearly is a mitzvah. Adkan the Rav. Just a point to defend the Avodas HaMelech. Again, that criticism of the Rav would work out if the Minchas Chinuch was bringing a raya from Israel. Meaning, the Minchas Chinuch said that tshuva is not a mitzvah because it's a reshus. So then there's a raya from the fact that the Rambam formulates tshuva as the Nevi'im being commanding Klal Yisrael. Right? The fact that the Rambam says that the Nevi'im commanded Klal Yisrael from tshuva, that disproves the option of reshus. But if you recall, that wasn't the argument of the Avodas HaMelech. The Avodas HaMelech's justification for tshuva not being a mitzvah was not because of reshus, was rather because it was an obvious chiyuv. So obvious that the Torah didn't need to formulate it as a mitzvah. But it's totally consistent with the Avodas HaMelech's approach to the Rambam, for the Rambam to say, at certain points in history, the Nevi'im commanded Klai Yisrael to perform tshuva because the Avos HaMelech thinks that it is a chiyuv. It's just an obvious chiyuv that the Torah didn't need to formulate it. But at the end of the day, it could be that at certain points in history, the Nevi'im needed to remind Klai Yisrael of that obvious chiyuv. So in short, the Rav is disproving the Avos HaMelech, but it's not really such a good disproof. It's a good disproof of the Minchas Chinuch read of the Rambam that it's just a Rishus, because then Sabu al Tshuva doesn't make any sense. But for the Avodas HaMelech's justification of the Rambam, of the Tshuva not being a mitzvah based on the fact that it's an obvious Chiv, it does make sense for the Rambam to formulate, you know, and say that the Nevi'im at some point in history commanded Klai Yisrael to perform Tshuva, because yeah, it's an obvious Chiv according to the Avodas HaMelech.
Okay, valid.
But the Ramban himself says that those same psukim also are mechayim. So,
you're right.
That's a good point. Seems like you're giving me a case.
Is it possible that for the Mechaskeda, Midoraisa, there's a Rishus, but Midorai Kabbalah, and you told you to do it anyways?
Interesting. I'm not sure. Like, interesting.
What?
You're saying the bottom line of or in a VM. Yeah. That is really, also saying that. I mean, that's Torah. Well, hard to know.
Right. Sorry, I was just saying the essence.
Well, this is Alach Aleph Aleph, so. Yeah, this part is not the comparison. But, interesting, but it's a good point. Oh. So just, you know, to close, you know, this first general approach that the, both the Minchas Chinuch and Avodas HaMelech, who say that the Rambam doesn't think that the inyan of tshuva is a mitzvah, with two kashas, right? There's both the Avodas HaMelech and the Minchas Chinuch are focusing on one Rambam. Specifically the Rambam in Aleph in Hilchos Tshuva, which is Kishi Yaseh Tshuva. But there are two other Rambams which we have to contend with, and those two other Rambams really imply that there is a mitzvah. Right, number one is the Koteres. Right, the Koteres in Hilchos Tshuva formulates the mitzvah as follows. It says, Mitzvahs Aseh Achas, Vihu, what's this mitzvah Aseh? That a person should do tshuva from his sin, lifnei Hashem v'yisvade. So again, the koteres implies that the inyan of tshuva is part of a mitzvah. So again, we do have to explain this, seems to be a stira to the koteres and aleph aleph. We're going to have to get back to that. Obviously, any approach is going to have to, you know, account for both of them. But again, simply focusing on Aleph Aleph and saying, oh, it's clear in the Rambam that the inyan of tshuva is not a mitzvah, is not so pashut, because number one, you have this koteres which implies, which formulates the mitzvah is including tshuva, and you also have the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos HaSeh, Ayin Gimel, where the Rambam also seems to formulate, you know, the mitzvah as including tshuva. Right? He says in Sefer HaMitzvos as follows, he says, He should sivanu lehisvados alachatayim va'avonos shechatayim lifnei akel yisalech. So for just vidui, again, though he commanded us to perform vidui, v'lomar osam im hatshuva, and to say them with the tshuva. So again, a little ambiguous, not as clear as the Koteres, but again, the simple reading seems to be that you have the tzivui to perform the vidui along with tshuva. Simple interpretation of the Sefer HaMitzvos is in line with the Koteres, that basically the mitzvah includes both vidui and tshuva. So again, to simply focus on Aleph Aleph and the Rambam seems to be a little, you know, narrow. And in fact, the Avodas HaMelech admits that his pshat of saying that, oh, it's clear that the Rambam doesn't hold that the mitzvah, that the inyan of tshuva is a mitzvah, he admits that it doesn't work out well with the Koteres. Again, this is not. So again, the problem with this first approach, again, it seems to ignore two other Rambams and seems to focus exclusively on Aleph Aleph with ignoring the Koteres and the Sefer HaMitzvos. Any? Good? So Ad Kan is the first approach that, again, the inyan of tshuva is not a mitzvah. Fine. The second approach, and probably the most intuitive approach, is that tshuva is a mitzvah, and it's an independent mitzvah, not connected to vidui, not connected to any other mitzvahs. It's an independent mitzvah of tshuva. So again, a number of rishonim seem to say this. So the first rishonim seems to say this is the Ramban. Right, the Ramban in Dvarim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph, right, explicitly says that tshuva is a mitzvah, and he derives this mitzvah from the psukim there in, you know, Perek Lamed, Lacha Aleph, and Allah, Perek Lamed, Psukim Aleph and Beis, where the Torah has the formulations of Pashivosa El Vavecha, and the formulation of Vishata Ad Hashem Lokecha. So, and then when later on in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says, like, Kia Mitzvah Hazos, the Ramban says, what is Kia Mitzvah Hazos? This mitzvah is referring to tshuva, which was referenced earlier in Psukim Aleph and Beis, Vashivosa and Vishat Ad Hashem Lekecha. So the Ramban clearly here thinks that, you know, this parsha in Dvarim Perek Lamed is mechadish, you know, this inyan of tshuva, which seems to be independent mitzvah. Again, in a fascinating fashion, the same Ramban says that in these psukim, right, in regards to kia mitzvah azos, the psukim say beficha ubilvavecha laso. So it's literally in your mouth and in your heart to perform it. So Ramban says, oh, you see in the formulation that there are two aspects here. There's a factor of bilvavecha in your heart, that's tshuva belief, and also beficha, that's the inyan of vidu. So again, but important for our purposes in terms of the bigger picture, the Ramban seems to say that the inyan of tshuva is an independent mitzvah, not connected to any other factor. Fine, so that's the Ramban on the Torah. Then you also have the smak, right? The smak has its own, you know, tariag mitzvos, sefer mitzvos. So this is a mitzvah nun gimel. Again, similar to the Ramban, he derives an independent chiyuv of tshuva from the pasuk of Vishata Ad Hashem Lekecha in Dvarim Lamed. Pasuk Beis, again, the smak, similar to the Ramban, basically derives the inyan of tshuva as an independent mitzvah from these psukim in Perek Lamed in Dvar. So, here you have the Ramban and the smak, and then just two more mefarshim. The third mefarish is the Shari Tshuva. So again, not explicit, but the Shari Tshuva in the beginning, in Aleph Aleph, seems to formulate tshuva as an independent chiyuv. He says in two different places here, he says, V'lamdam v'hiziram lashuv elav kiyecha ta'olo. It says the Torah taught us and commanded us to do tshuva. And he says, v'hizharnu ala tshuva b'kama makomos b'torah. And the Torah commands us in many places to do tshuva. Again, it doesn't tell us exactly where it is, but again, it seems to be that the Torah in a number of places, presumably these other, you know, Perek Lamed and Dvarim, again, it seems to be in these independent, you know, places, tells us about the independent mitzvah of tshuva. And the last, you know, last mefarish on this list, so far it's been Rishonim, last one is the Minchas Chinuch. Right, the Minchas Chinuch, again, part of it's discussing the Shitas Rambam, but then the Minchas Chinuch himself basically argues in the Rambam and says, basically, I disagree with the Rambam, I think that tshuva really is a mitzvah, and again, the way he formulates it, it seems to be an independent mitzvah, is he says, the Torah tzivsa, Torah commands us, that im avar avera, that if we violate avera, the mechuyev lasos tshuva im vidui, there are mechuyev to do tshuva along with vidui. So again, the simple pshat seems to be, the Minchas Chinuch, that there's an independent mitzvah of tshuva, that the Torah is mechayev us. He says it's independent mitzvah, parallel to the independent mitzvahs of tefillin and matzah. But then the Minchas Chinuch adds a fascinating line, which has very important implications. He says, therefore, since it's an independent mitzvah, if you do not perform tshuva, he says, you're in constant violation of this mitzvah. He says, like, it's a bit of a kol rega of a rega. Every moment that you, after you performed an aveira and you have not performed tshuva, it's a constant violation of this mitzvah saseh. So the reason why that's very important is because there's a whole discussion about when do you say that when you're in violation of a mitzvah saseh, that it's a one-time violation, and when do you say that it's a constant violation every second? That's like a whole inyan of the mitzvah saseh. Okay, let's say you haven't, you know, put on tzum, right? You haven't formed the bris milah. Might come, you know, your son 8 days old, or now it's 8 days have passed, you haven't done the bris milah for your son or for yourself, you know, do we say that there's like just a one bittul of the mitzvah saseh? Or is there a bittul korega barega that every second there's a bittul? Again, nafkamina in terms of precedence, if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, which one do you do first? A number of different nafkamina. And according to Reb Chaim, this is for your new purchase, Gracha Lashas, page 52, actually, has the following analysis in the context of mitzvah of Mila, which applies to really all mitzvahs, you know, implication here as well. Basically says, the breakdown of when you say that a violation of mitzvah saseh is a constant violation, and when you say it's like a one-time violation, is whether the mitzvah saseh is focused on the maisa, or is focused on the totsa. He says Reb Chaim, if the mitzvah saseh is to perform a one-time maisa, so then the violation in not performing that one-time maisa is a one-time violation, because you just haven't done your violation is not having done that one-time performance. But if the mitzvah is focused on a totsah, you have to do an action in order to secure a certain result, i.e. by milah. It's a big question. Is the milah focused on a maisa milah, or is it to ensure that the person is no longer in a state of arelus? So he says, if the mitzvah of milah is focused on the maisa milah, so then she's considered one bittul. But if the focus is on ensuring a state of arelus, of ensuring that you're not in a state of arelus, so then every second that state of arlos continues, you're in constant violation of that avera. So plug that back to Minchas Chinuch, possibly. Seems to be a mistaber analysis. If the Minchas Chinuch says that you're in constant violation every second that you don't perform tshuva, that could have very significant implications for the nature of the mitzvah of tshuva. But it could be that the mitzvah of tshuva is not a one-time chiyuv to perform tshuva, but it's rather focused on ensuring that you have a state, that you're going to be in a state of being niskapin. And therefore, if you think the focus is not just on performing, it's not just, oh, you're mechuyev to perform tshuva, but it's rather that you're mechuyev to basically rectify your standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to colloquially clean your slate moving forward. So it could be that, therefore, every second that your slate is not cleansed, right? That every second that you are still not in niskaper, therefore you can be in constant violation. So again, when the Minchas Chinuch has that extra line that by not doing tshuva you're in a constant violation, based on Reb Chaim's analysis, that could have significant implications in terms of the nature of the tshuva, whether it's like the mitzvah is formulated in terms of a one-time performance of a chiyuv to perform tshuva, or do you have a chiyuv to ensure that you attain a state of being a skaper?
Who is it that makes the difference between the state versus the maisa?
Reb Chaim. So there's an assumption here carrying that over, but it could be that if you accept that analysis, that would carry over.
I'm not sure I understand the distinction. Shouldn't we also say that every second you're not doing that maisa, you're being
yeah, you could have said that,
to not do that,
but again,
you're delaying the performance of that maisa mitzvah.
But again, according to Reb Chaim's analysis, again, it's not mukruch. I think it's mustaber, not mukruch. But like, I think his analysis is that once you find in halacha that there are these two options, and in certain cases you find that halacha formulates it as a constant violation, and sometimes you find that as it's a more one-time violation, that it's mistaber to connect it in this way, right? To say that if it's a state, then it makes sense to say it's a constant. But if it's like a one-time chiyuv, so then the lack of performing that one-time chiyuv is like a one-time. It's like a we formulate your bittul of you did not do that one-time thing. You're right. You didn't have to say that, but once you have to line it up, is. No. But the answer is no. But it has other not in terms of that. But interesting question. Yeah.
What exactly does that mean? Just to clarify that.
Which
so that you're like every single second you're in here or
vice versa, like everything is
It means what it sounds
like.
You're
losing half a point in a second.
What?
You're losing half a point.
It's a more chomer. It's hard to always quantify it, but it's more chomer. That's the best I can tell you. So, like, you know, there's certain averas, you know, like, that every second, like, by or by a month. You know, you have this by law, you know. Kolzman, presumably, Kolzman, if the chomer is in your possession, you're in constant violation.
Every second is a degree hotter.
I don't like formulating in those terms, but in short, the constant violation is more chamor than a one-time violation.
Like,
what? What is it?
I was like,
you know, yeah, 100%. But no, we don't know that, but we do know certain chomer and kal, we do know, and this chilek between a one-time violation and a constant violation.
Because
now you're, let's say, according to our analysis, because now you, that's a separate question how that works in Afraya, but because now moving forward, you know, your slate is clean. Once you do tshuva moving forward, of course, you solve it. So far we've had. So I've got.
We're saying it's like a focus on the Totsa'a.
Yeah.
But if you have in mind to do Tshuva, then would you say that like maybe you don't have
the. Yeah, so that's fascinating. That's a whole sugya that comes up in different contexts. It could be that, you know, by like, you know, one that comes to mind is the Indian of when it comes to Chametz. There's like a Kiddush that like the Tosos and Psachim Chavtesim Beis. There's a famous line where he says, if you have Das to do Tashbisu, so then you don't violate by Rabbi Matzeh. Even the Chametz is still there, but you have that by certain mitzvos, that the intention, it really depends on how the mitzvah is formulated, but it's a good question. It's definitely possible, but not mukhrach, it depends on how the Avera is formulated. Again, it depends, like, if it's about, like, not caring, if it's like, not caring about your slate being, you know, dirty or, you know, sinful, so then to have kavana to do tshuva is going to have an impact. If it's just basically just the mitzias, then it's like, that's like the type of analysis that it impacts. It's like, it's sort of a separate question, but it's a very, always good question to raise. That'll be, you know, always fruitful, you know, a fruitful avenue to go on.
The guy who was like Das Grand Life has to be Jake Kamara, the whole discussion of that. How does that play into the game? If he's big against this.
Former logic grew out of the
Gaza? No, they could be just like, Timmy, no, you know, TMS is the Kamara, or is he close to me on the Zed? I mean, it's supposed to be Das, not Phil.
No, close to me on the Zed because he claims he didn't do it.
Then everyone's
going to
do it, and it's not
going to
be effective. The implication
of
that is not
going to
be effective.
I'm not sure how that impacts.
What
does that impact?
I'm just like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's something to think about, but I'm not sure it was going to be directly.
I'm thinking, like, I don't think it's like a guess.
Yeah.
It's
something, but something to think about.
I'm asking, like, how that impacts the understanding of, like, the way in which, like, this
card,
like, the.
We'll think about it another time. I just want to make sure we. In the next couple minutes, we just want to finish what we have. We got to think about that. So Akkam had basically two approaches. First approach being that there is that the Indian of tshuva is not a mitzvah. Two different variations of that. One A being because you downplay tshuva as rishus, or one B is you upgrade it as saying it's such an obvious chiyuv. Approach number two is that the classical, I would say, more intuitive approach that the Indian of tshuva is an independent mitzvah. So now we're getting to approach number three, and the last approach we're going to deal with tonight, which is that tshuva is a mitzvah. But it's not an independent mitzvah, it's rather a mitzvah which stems from the mitzvah of vidui. So again, that the makor of vidui includes the mitzvah of tshuva. So we'll see this inside. So the first person to say this is the Kiriya Sefer, is a Mefarish in the Rambam, the Kiriya Sefer in, you know, Hukos Tshuva Aleph Aleph. Right? And the Rambam, and so the Kiriya Sefer basically explains, fascinatingly, that because performing vidui without tshuva is basically what it calls like tovel v'sheretz biyado, basically performing vidui without tshuva is basically totally inconsequential, totally, you know, lacking any substance. So therefore, when the Torah is the makor for vidui, basically includes the inyan of tshuva, because you can't have a vidui, a proper vidui, without first having the inyan of tshuva. Because you can't, you know, verbalize, you know, and we'll get to exactly the relationship between, you know, vidui and tshuva, but you can't verbalize, you know, a tshuva process if you don't have, you know, if you don't have full tshuva belief. So in short, the Kiryas Sefer says that when the Rambam basically only focuses on the chiyav of tshuva and only cites a makor for vidui, that's not because tshuva is not a mitzvah, it's rather because the mitzvah of tshuva is nichlal, is included within the mitzvah of vidui. And then just I'll read the lashon on the Kiryas Sefer inside. He says, "Hatshuva v'havidui mitzvah echadi." They're all a single mitzvah. She'in vidui b'li tshuva, because there's no notion of vidui without tshuva. Ki mashem is vada ve'ino gomer b'livo lashuv mecha ta'aso. Because verbalizing vidui without having in mind to do tshuva, who kitovel v'sheretz biyado, it's like going through the motions of tefila, but still holding on to the sheretz. Holding on to the sheretz. So basically, it's the Gemara's, you know, Chum's way of saying that, you know, you're doing a maisa which is completely inconsequential because, you know, there's some other factor which completely, you know, undermines exactly what you're doing. Right? If tevila is supposed to be mitayer you and you're still holding on to the sheretz, which is the mitame, you know, it completely undermines, you know, the essence of your actions. Va'avidui hu gemar ha'tshuva. And the vidui is just the gemar of the tshuva, and therefore you can't have vidui without first having tshuva. So again, this is how the Kiryas Sefer explains the Rambam's focus on vidui and aleph, that the Rambam only brings up makor for vidui, but again, that doesn't tell you that there's no mitzvah of tshuva, because the mitzvah of tshuva is included within that.
Would the term hakshuva still be appropriate to use?
No. They're both two chalakim of the mitzvah. That's more than that. So just the one point, just to say, one tzarach in the Kiryas Sefer is that while this accounts of the fact that the Rambam only cites a makor for vidui, again, the Rambam's lashon of kishayasa tshuva doesn't work out so nicely, according to the Kiryas Sefer. Because again, the Rambam here is in the context of discussing vidui, which according to the Kiryas Sefer means there's a chiyav to do tshuva, because otherwise your chiyav vidui is meaningless. So according to the Kiryas Sefer's explanation, he doesn't really account, you know, well, he doesn't really account for the lashon of the Rambam of kishayasa tshuva. Because kishayasa tshuva seems to be saying something, but according to Kiryas Sefer, he really basically ignores that factor and says, no, there's a chiyav of tshuva, just nichlal and the chiyav to do vidui. Okay. So again, that's the first, you know, the first mefarish who takes this approach that again there is a mitzvah of tshuva, but it's, you know, stemming from the mitzvah of vidui. I just want to just present the Rav's take on this. He's the second mefarish who takes this approach that there's a mitzvah of tshuva stemming from vidui, and then I'll take any questions. I just want to make sure anybody wants to go to Musar. So the Rav in Al Tshuva is like a beautiful piece of the Rav, because this is really one of like the Rav's classical, you know, pieces. Right? So it's like one of the classical, you know, in terms of like the Rav's Derech HaLimud, is the following idea. Where the Rav has this idea in many, many places, is throughout the Rav's writing, where he has a breakdown between a koteres, whereas the Rav has a well-known breakdown between a maisa mitzvah, right, and a kiyam shebelief. Where the Rav develops this idea in many different contexts, where in certain mitzvahs you have the maisa mitzvah, the physical action that needs to be done, and then you have the kiyam shebelief, the internal, you know, aspect, you know, that second aspect of the mitzvah, which relates not to the actions, but rather, you know, relates to your mentality and a kiyam shebelief. Yeah, when it comes to Avelos, tons of examples. We'll get to some of them right now. And in line with this breakdown between a Maisa Mitzvah, right, the physical act that you have to do, and the Kiyam Shebelev, the corollary, you know, feeling that you're supposed to have as a result of that Maisa Mitzvah, The Rav says that, he explains a number of Rambams in the following way, where he says that a lot of times when you have discrepancies between the Koteres and, you know, the Rambam's, you know, discussions in the Halachos themselves, he says certain discrepancies can be resolved with this Chiluk. According to the Rav, he basically says that the Rambam in the Koteres is always describing the Kiyum Shebelev, and the Rambam in the Halachos themselves is always describing, you know, it's more like, you know, is always describing the Maisa Mitzvah. And again, the Rav utilizes this, you know, this breakdown to explain a number of distinctions, a number of stiros between the Rambam's, you know, presentation of a mitzvah in the Koteres and his presentation in the Halachos themselves. Again, by explaining that the Koteres is focusing on something completely different than what he's focusing on the Halachos. Again, the Koteres is focusing on the Kiyum Shebelev, while the Halachos themselves is focusing on the Maisa Mitzvah. And with this, he explains our stira between the Koteres and Hilchos Shuvah and the Rambam in Hilchos Shuvah Aleph Aleph. Says the Koteres, where he pointed out, there the Rambam focuses, and he says, and he basically formulates that the formulation implies that tshuva is a mitzvah, right? In contrast to Aleph Aleph, where he downplays the factor of tshuva and just says kishiyase tshuva and only focuses on vidui. So says the Rav, beautifully in line with his whole, you know, halach, that the reason why the Rambam and the Rambam only plays up the factor of tshuva in the Koteres, because the factor of tshuva is the kiyum shebelev. The tshuva is all about how the person feels in his heart, in his mind. Therefore, in the Koteres, where he's focusing on the kiyum shebelev, he's going to focus and plays up the factor of tshuva and says that is a chiyuv, because it is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's a kiyum shebelev. But in Aleph Aleph, the Rambam specifically downplays the tshuva and only says kishayasa tshuva and only formulates the chiyuv in terms of the vidoy, because in Aleph Aleph his focus is not on the kiyum shebelev, but rather on the ma'isa mitzvah. And in terms of a ma'isa mitzvah, what you have to do, only vidoy is something you have to, you know, concretely do. In that case, in the case of vidoy, you have to concretely speak out, verbalize, you know, the tshuva process. So again, the Rav beautifully explains the stira between in the Koteres and Aleph Aleph by saying the Rambam in these two places has a different goal in mind. In a parallel situation, where again, where the, you know, the Rav utilizes this yisod to explain an apparent discrepancy, is in Hilchos Tefillah. So there in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam in the Koteres formulates the mitzvah of tshuva in terms of la'avod es Hashem b'chol yom tefillah, again formulating as an avoda, while in Aleph Aleph, in Hilchos Tefillah, he says, he focuses on being mispalel b'peh. So there too, he develops this idea that by tefillah, there are these two components. There's the ma'isa, there's a ma'isa mitzvah of tefillah with words, but then he says the kiyum shebelev, what he called is the avoda shebelev, is the, you know, is the more internal, is the more internal, you know, factor of tefillah, the, you know, the, more of the kavanos and what he, what we characterize as the avoda shebelev. So again, in short, the Rav, you know, utilized this yisod, and with this he explains that. Again, really, what comes out for the Rav is that the makor for all this, or the makor for the Rambam for both tshuva and vidoy, is the pasuk in regards to vidoy. But because, according to the Rav's understanding, that pasuk is being mechayev vidoy as the ma'isa mitzvah, but nichlal in that mitzvah is then the kiyum shebelev of tshuva. So again, the Rav is similar to the Kiryas Sefer, in a sense that you have the mitzvah of tshuva stemming from the makor, stemming from the mitzvah of vidui. Again, in a different fashion, but according to the Rav, the makor of vidui is the ma'isa mitzvah. But then again, the kiyum shebelev of tshuva is nichlal in that vidui, just like any kiyum shebelev is nichlal in a ma'isa mitzvah. So again, that's Adkan is really is the third approach, both the Kiryas Sefer and the Rav of saying that the inyan of tshuva is a mitzvah, but not an independent mitzvah like approach number two, but rather a mitzvah which stems from the inyan of vidui. I'll take any questions. And it's also free to go.
So does this sound a little bit like the Sefer Mitzvahs?
What?
Does this sound a little bit like Sefer Mitzvot?
Would this work for Sefer Mitzvot?
Sefer Mitzvot was I didn't see it inside, but the Sefer Mitzvot said...
Sefer Mitzvot also plays... Well, the Sefer